about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Seriously, I'm petrified, but shall we?
So far, you're doing a great job.
Really?
No, but we'll see what happens.
Okay, good.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Wait, hold on. You mean to tell me that the only copy you got on this song is on this laptop?
I just finished it today. I left my hard drive in New York.
I'm gonna email it.
No.
What do you mean, no?
Hackers.
Who's hacking your emails?
NASA.
NASA's hacking your emails?
Yeah, remember the Snowden dude?
Oh, you mean the NSA?
Yeah, NASA.
Listen here. It's Beer Mug, and why do I waste money on gambling when I could spend it on food? Seriously, I love you.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let's rave on.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over.
What little boys do.
Roll another one.
What happened? Explain yourself.
Just like the other one.
Show of hands, who else has an erection?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Well, that was disturbing.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
Roll another one.
Let the freakout begin.
Just like the other one.
You guys want tickets to the gun show?
This one seems to be about spent.
Nothing more than a body.
I don't have another cent.
Oh, you are so annoying. How do you not just punch yourself in the face?
Something more to the story.
Just pass it around.
Well, that's an exciting revelation for me.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Hold on, I smell pot. I smell pot.
But just pass it on down.
And now. They are nothing but thugs and criminals and predators and, that's right, losers.
Our feature presentation.
Come on, losers.
It's harsh.
It's a little strong.
It is.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday morning, the 25th of August.
It's Friday is what it is.
Nope. It is not Friday, sir.
It is
Friday.
Look at the calendar.
As long as there's air in my lungs, it will be Friday.
You say that now, man, but one day you're going to wake up and go, you know what? I was wrong all those years
to
wave off Friday.
Nope.
It is Friday.
Nope.
I feel good about it.
Nope.
How's everybody doing?
Good.
Great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Late
How about
night
you?
For me, late night.
Late night.
Oh, you stayed up for the release.
To.
Yeah.
How could I not?
Of a single. Sorry.
Yeah, wow.
Had to get that part out.
Oh, are you talking about Taylor Swift?
Well, yeah. Yeah. I was going to go to bed before the Taylor Swift single came out. Yeah, that was going to happen.
But after hearing it, wouldn't you have been happier?
No.
Oh, no.
I listened to it three times in a row before I went to bed, and then I had to sign up for a verified ticket for the concert, and then I had to buy a T-shirt. It was a whole thing for me last night. It was a big, big night.
No, I'm saying, wouldn't you feel better because you wouldn't have actually heard that song?
No, I am excited about it and delighted to have heard it and excited about the album, too.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy.
Crazy.
Well, I know we'll talk about it. I know we have that coming up, but we have something far more
important. Yeah, it's a little creepy.
Far more important to talk about right now, which is you are going to remember today, Friday, the 25th of August.
It's Friday.
As the day that everything changed. Because there are only two halves to your life. There's the half before you heard Beer Mug's tape from Las Vegas. And then there's the half after you hear Beer Mug's tape from Las Vegas.
Oh, no.
And everything's going to be different.
Everybody will remember exactly where they were and what they were doing.
Exactly. This is the Radio 9/11. That's what this is. Now, we send Beer Mug because he's so beer muggy, right?
Right.
He's never been more beer muggy than he is in this tape. I know we're
talking
to him.
Yeah, he's beer muggy squared.
He is.
He's beer mug times beer mug.
Beer mug to 100th power.
Yep.
So he's in Las Vegas because he is going to be getting interviews around the Mayweather-McGregor fight tomorrow night. And we'll talk to him later, and we'll have plenty more tape to play later, but let's get started with some of it. But whatever we have time for. Kevin, you tell me. I'm going to play tape till 10 a.m. unless you stop me. All right, so you tell me more.
I may not stop you.
What's up, party people? Beer Mug here in Las Vegas. The biggest fights in combat sports history. It's That guy just looked at me like, wow, what's wrong with him?
Right.
What up, everybody? It is Beer Mug here in...
All right, now, are we hearing a new level of frustration for Beer Mug trying to get this thing recorded?
I feel like it, yes. And I want to point out as well that he's not live like we are. He's actually taping.
Yeah.
So he could, I don't know, write it out?
Sure, read it right there.
A couple of notes, something?
Yeah.
Does he get nervous because he is also being filmed because the KROQ videographer Carlos is there shooting?
Maybe.
Because it's a little more embarrassing to not be able to speak in front of a person when you kind of feel like maybe you're wasting their time.
Which he clearly wasn't, because this is gold.
And he's standing, it sounds like, in a public place. As he mentioned, people are walking by and looking at him, and I think that's maybe adding a little additional pressure as well.
What is up? Beer Mug here in Las Vegas, Nevada. I stayed up a little too late last night, you know what I'm saying? Trying to get even with the casino.
Can you stop for a second?
Yes.
I stayed up late last night. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's
pretty clear.
Concept.
Yeah, you stayed up late last night is what you're saying, I assume.
When he called the Afro line at 4 a.m. yesterday, Kevin, you were horrified when he made a reference to the fact that he was going to try to win that money back.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can possibly do. You lose a bunch of money and then you go, okay, now I got to gamble a lot more to win it back.
And as everyone knows, that's how those casinos get built, because you leave so much money in Las Vegas. But so how do you know, though, when you're at rock bottom? Like, is it $50? Is it $100? Is it $400? How do you know when it's time to go?
Well, I have limits that I set for myself. I don't like losing more than. He does not, though.
You have a number in mind before you make that first
bet.
This is how much I'm willing to lose, and that's the end of my evening.
I get bummed if I lose more than that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, why do I want to get bummed? So
and
I
you just, can stick with that.
Yeah, you quit.
Okay.
So you've got self-control.
I also have a very hard out where I have to leave Vegas at a certain time, because if I stay longer than like 2.5 days, it's all bad.
Oh.
So then you start making bad decisions and all that. But
Ali, how much did Ricky lose at the craps table on Ballers a couple weeks ago? Was it like $1 million?
Over $1 million, yeah.
Over $2 million? $1 million.
Yeah.
And he was that guy. Do you watch Ballers, Kevin?
No.
He was the guy who lost, thought he was going to win it back, and then went and just started getting credit from the casino. You know what I mean? Because he's a high roller, so they'll give him as much as he wants. And everybody around him was like, don't do it, dude. And he would have none of it. He was not going to walk out of there a loser. Unlike our man Muggs.
I now know why they build all these new hotels. And I'm just glad that they didn't take my firstborn. I'm just glad that he didn't take my firstborn child yesterday.
I was wondering if he was trying to remember what he had.
Yeah. Is it a baby?
Is it a child or what was it? A dog? I can't remember.
Casinos do that now?
I don't think they do.
Yeah, I wouldn't be that concerned that was what they were coming for either, but it was funny to me that he had to stop and think about what he had at home.
Oh my God.
Is it a goldfish or is it a daughter?
You know what I mean? Carlos, I don't think you know what I mean. You know what I mean? You kind of do? Don't laugh at me. What's up,
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
This is just trying to get the first sentence out still, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he's still trying to set it up.
Poor Carlos.
Starting the tape. I mean, how are we doing on time? Because
keep going.
What's up, party people? Beer Mug here in Las Vegas, Nevada. For the biggest... Is it Nevada or Nevada?
Isn't it a little bit too late in the process for that kind of existential crisis?
Because I said Nevada, and people were like, Nevada, huh? Like, Nevada's like more Western. God damn it, I almost f***ing heard it.
No, you didn't.
Why do you keep sending me these things? I clearly cannot do this.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, we're running into trouble now.
That concerns me.
Right?
If he's taking himself out of the running.
Uh-oh.
If he starts saying no when we send him, then what?
He'll go. Don't worry.
It is Beer Mug here. for the most anticipated fight in combat sports history. They've invited... Why do I... God, I hate myself.
All right. I think maybe that's a good place.
It's enough for now. It's enough for now, but we do need to hear it later.
Is it sad? Is
yes.
it funny?
It's funny and sad, but more funny.
Because
Allie, you're a sweet person, and you don't like to hurt people or make fun of people. How are you feeling about us playing the beer mug tape at this point?
I mean, if it was just him not being able to do it because he just had problems with words, that's one thing. He's still drunk. So that plays a part so I don't feel as bad.
That's okay. My point. Everything that he is feeling right then,
he brought it on
himself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we can still enjoy it.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay, great. I'm in.
Dude, this is a new level for the mugs. This is a mess.
Calls himself the mugs. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Sometimes I feel like your head is a little oven. It only bakes bad ideas.
Is that the Diplo show?
Yep.
So funny.
So Beer Mug in Vegas. We got more of that. A lot more of that, where that came from. We also have your tickets, your pay-per-view tickets for Mayweather-McGregor. We're going to play a game in the 6 o'clock hour so you can win those. We're going to talk to Cyber Wars Ben Maku, I think is how you say it, talking about the HBO hack. We don't understand exactly. How does that happen? How can they not catch them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do they keep doing it? There's so many questions that we have about that. It's crazy.
Ben's a guy you should keep on speed dial, Kevin, for as often as you either lose or forget your password.
Well, I don't know that he's the guy that helped me with my password.
He's really? You don't think so?
One of the best hackers in the world that has now turned it is doing...
I feel like he could get into your computer, though, you know, on his phone.
He could.
Anywhere in the country.
Also, Kevin could just remember his password.
Well, okay.
No? Okay. Maybe we need Ben.
No, I can't. Our favorite cover songs we're going to talk about today. We started talking about this off the air yesterday. We're going to talk to Dana White as well.
We hope.
We tried that once before, and he's had a pretty busy week, yeah. And we also, I don't remember if I said Internet Roundup, so I'm going to say it again as if I didn't.
I don't think you did.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll take a break.
Hey!
Hmm. Hmm. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Time for a first look at the showbiz beat. Here's Allie. Once again in for Ralph Garman.
Hey, guys. I know that Bean heard about this yesterday. Sad news about somebody that most people in L.A. would maybe know as an actor. But if you were around earlier, you'd know he hosted the morning show over at Power 106. Jay Thomas passed away yesterday. He died of cancer at the age of 69. But some people might remember him, I think most recently, Ray Donovan.
Right.
He was on Murphy Brown. He was on Cheers. And I remember he was always on Letterman to tell the same story every Christmas because it delighted Letterman in a way that just you rarely see. You rarely see him so tickled as when Jay Thomas would go and tell the story of, God, was it the late 70s? Bean, when he would do radio remotes?
Yeah, I think it was mid to late 70s. He's working at a car dealership, and one of the draws to come out and buy a new car is to meet the actor who played the Lone Ranger. Clayton Moore was there.
And dressed as the Lone Ranger.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's a hilarious story, and you can find several versions of it from various years that Jay stopped by the Letterman show. But it's so weird that Letterman liked that story so much that he would invite a guy on the show to tell the same story again that he told last year.
And he told it to him in private once. That's how it all started. And then Letterman's like, you got to come on the show. And then every single Christmas, he would come on and tell the story. And Letterman would act like he's never heard it before. And it tickled me.
It's quite a legacy.
You knew him pretty well, right?
By the way, just one more thing. One year, Jay couldn't make it. And Dave didn't want to miss the story, so they had John McEnroe on the show to tell the story.
No,
no, I wouldn't say that I was friends with Jay. I mean, you know, I knew him a little bit when he was in L.A., when he was working at Power 106. But and I kept in touch a little bit here and there over the years. You know, we had mutual friends like Frank Murphy, who used to produce his show at Power 106. But I kind of got back in touch with him a lot in the last year and a half because...
Way to go.
By coincidence, I bought my house in New Orleans from Jay Thomas. He owned the house before me.
That's crazy.
So because of that, we kind of reconnected again and would talk. So, I mean, I probably talked to him, I don't know, five or 6 weeks ago. I probably talked to him. And he sounded great. He sounded optimistic and happy. But, you know, that's the thing about cancer. It's so insidious and it's so awful. He was so young. But the treatment can work and then just stop working.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's what happened. He lost the battle. It's just, it's real sad. And you saw a lot of wonderful tributes to him yesterday. Everybody who knew him talked about, A, what a nice guy he was, and B, just how wicked funny he was.
Yeah, he was beloved for sure. All right, moving on to the MTV Video Music Awards. This Sunday, host Katy Perry.
Right.
Also performing. Okay, good. Yes. Kendrick Lamar has the most nominations with 8. That includes Video of the Year for Humble. And Katy Perry and The Weeknd are tied for second most with 5. But for the first time, there's going to be no male or female artist categories. Instead, just a new category of Artist of the Year will do the job. MTV says this was, quote, to break barriers. Enough. I mean, come on. There's also another new category called Best Fight Against the System.
What?
Oh, I don't know what that even means. But
Best Fight Against the System.
Is that for like the most political song? Or maybe. I can't figure it out.
Well,
I
don't Prophets Rage will win then.
You would think, no yeah. And Pink will be honored with the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. If you're into it, some performers are Kendrick Lamar, Katy Perry, like I said, The Weeknd, Ed Sheeran, Lorde, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Miley Cyrus.
This sounds like a little better show than recent
it
years.
It does. It actually sounds more like artists we've all kind of heard of.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Which is nice. And I might even watch a little bit of it,
wow,
you guys.
Wow, that's crazy.
I know. It's totally nuts.
Sunday nights are busy. It's tough to, you know, tough to change your schedule.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I forgot it's on Sunday. No. Nope. It's just me and Ballers and Insecure. That's my Sunday night. And Ray Donovan. Who am I kidding?
Right.
I watched that twice. A lot of birthdays. Let's get into these. Sean Connery, 87. Gene Simmons, 68. Judas Priestsinger, Rob Halford, is 66. Elvis Costello is 63. Tim Burton, 59. Billy Ray Cyrus, 56. Rachel Ray. Did Omar know? Because he...
I don't think so.
Okay.
I can't believe he even came in.
He was in a good mood, so let's not tell him.
Rachel Ray is 49. Model Claudia Schiffer, 47. Alexander Skarsgård, 41. Rachel Bilson, 36. And actress Blake Lively is 30. We're going to talk a little Taylor Swift coming up, Kevin, because we need to figure out what Bean is okay with in this song, because there's nothing to be okay
with. It's a terrible song?
It's not good.
All right.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that coming up. I'm Allie McCain for Ralph Garman, walking the Showbiz Beat.
We're going to talk to a beer mug in Las Vegas. He's there as part of our team coverage of the Mayweather-McGregor fight this weekend, and we're actually going to give away a free pay-per-view for that in about 10 minutes or so right here on the Kevin Bean Show. So if you're interested in seeing the fight but you don't want to pay for it, great day for you to be listening to the show. That's all coming up on K-Rock.
Right now it's time for a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Got a ton of videos this week. Some of them are fantastic, like the guy who is filming lightning striking near his house. And it seems like it's a little ways away, and it's a little ways away. And then it's 5 meters from where he is. And it destroys his backyard.
Boom! Yeah, it did F up his porch and his yard. And I mean, grass from his yard ends up on his roof. That's how violent the lightning strike is. It's amazing to see it.
It was fantastic.
And by the way, he didn't scream. Weren't you surprised that he didn't scream and start swearing when it happened? Like, in terror?
No, I think he was, you know, what they say,
soiling his pants?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he can move.
He's paralyzed by fear. Yeah.
There's also a great behind-the-scenes Game of Thrones called The Frozen Lake, and it's fascinating. And they say that they've been trying to do a zombie bear, a polar bear, for every season. And every season, the guys tell them no. And then they come back and they go, nope, this season we want one. No, this time we want one. And they actually had one this last
What, they were waiting
episode.
For the technology to catch up to make it look good?
The special effects guys would just tell them no.
Wow.
We can't do that. So every year they would write it in, and this year they finally got it. And that's a fascinating video as well.
That show looks like it's way more fun to watch than it is to be on, by the way.
Yeah, I would think
so, too.
That
looks like a lot of work.
Yeah, I would think so, too. I'd like to start the audio, though, with Sarah Jessica Parker, who is, she's covering, and I say covering in air quotes, the eclipse. And she's on a boat, and you can't exactly understand everything that she's saying.
Are you guys, this is official, I don't know if you can see me, but there's a ship out. There's a ship out here in South Carolina, out of the water. I don't know if you can see me, please. See the sun, don't look too long.
That's good. Right?
It reminds me of Beans.
My Periscope on the Ferry.
Beans Periscope on the Ferry. You're a single word.
Yep.
So that was her. That was great. She ends with back to you.
When you listen, watch that video after you shot it and go, oh, too bad that didn't come out. I won't post it.
I don't know. You tell us.
At least he was live.
Oh, no, you did it live,
yeah,
right?
But is there anything that makes you as happy as that made her?
No.
I mean, ice cream
She was strangely euphoric over that.
Yeah.
And there's another video on there of a guy who's just losing it.
Starts crying.
Starts crying because it's the most amazing thing he's ever seen in his life.
People will drop to their knees and weep.
And weep. Thank you, Allie. That's what I heard, too. Yep. And I talked to a friend yesterday who drove to Idaho for the total eclipse. She wanted to be in the path. And she said it changed her life.
No, it didn't.
No.
But here's the thing.
Listen, I enjoyed the eclipse. It didn't change.
Because none of us saw it in the path of totality. It's a 100% different situation when you see that, as I will on April 8th, 2024.
Sure. Game of Thrones is back, of course. It's Jonathan, and this week with GLOW's Kimmy Gatewood, and doing the recap of Game of Thrones.
Then there's this very suspenseful sequence when millions of bloodthirsty zombies attack them one at a time.
Just when you think it's the last time we're ever going to see Jon Snow's gorgeous, sin-on-able face, Christina Aguilera and her dragons make everyone some delicious creme zombie.
But while Jon Snow was showing her what his little hands could do, approachable Karl Lagerfeld announces Ice Bears are in. It was full TLC behind the music when T-Buzz and Chili lost left eye.
They have a unique way of recapping that show.
They do.
Finally, for On the Air, Honest Trailers Retro TV Themes with Michael Bolton and Friends. This is, Honest Trailers is up for Outstanding Short for Variety Series, and they're asking Emmy voters to vote for them. And to do that, they recreated some classic TV themes. Brian McKnight is in it, Paula Cole, Natasha Bedingfield. But my favorite is Michael Bolton, who wants to do Game of Thrones. But they point out to him that that's not necessarily eligible for an Emmy, but he wants to do it anyway, so he doesn't care.
I want to tackle my favorite show, Game of Thrones. Oh, yeah.
But Michael, Game of Thrones isn't eligible for Emmys this year.
House Bolton does what it wants.
Yeah, it does.
Our love burned like wildfire until you blew it out. Now my watch is ended, the kingdoms are in doubt.
They're showing highlights behind this.
Winter is coming, there's a wall around my heart. I'm a wolf in dragon's clothing.
Michael Bolton be doing if he wasn't doing parody songs now?
Oh, no.
Comedy songs.
Bring some joy.
Turning on them because there's just too many people to keep track of.
I know it was fashionable to hate on Michael Bolton years ago, but don't you think he's come around now?
I do.
People like him again.
Yeah.
And you listen to that and you go, dude can still sing.
Yes, as long as he's singing something funny, we're all good.
Yeah.
You can check out those videos and a bunch of others on Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup right now at KevinandBean.com.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All right, we're going to give away some...
Oh, sorry.
Okay, you go.
You're going to do that. No, I 100% assumed you'd forgotten.
Nah, I did.
I thought there
for
was
one
no
second,
but... chance you were going to remember okay, when but... I did the giveaway.
Okay, you do it.
Mayweather versus McGregor pay-per-view party pack right now, including money for the fight and refreshments and commemorative t-shirt and hat and poster and all the rest, courtesy of Mayweather Promotions and Frontier. I'm warning you, it is not the hardest game in the world, but it is not an easy game either. So put on your thinking cap and give us a call. 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to win this prize pack if you call right now. All right, here we go. Mayweather versus McGregor pay-per-view party pack, courtesy of the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're playing Total Recall.
Total Recall, that's the
a game that we play. If you want pay-per-view to see McGregor and Mayweather. Oh, yeah! Total Recall, a free pay-per-view fight. That's what you will win. All you have to do is recall.
Total Recall is a tough game because you're being asked to come up with five items, and what makes it hard is there's 10 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
So the pressure's really on. A, you're on the radio, and B, you've got 10 seconds to try to qualify to win this amazing prize package. Again, Mayweather versus McGregor pay-per-view party pack for tomorrow night. So I'll give you a category, and all you have to do is name five items in that category, and you go into the drawing. Who's our first contestant, please?
Our first contestant is Jennifer in Highland Park. Hi, Jennifer.
Hey, guys.
Jennifer, thank you so much for listening. What are you doing up so early on a Friday, by the way?
Oh, I start work at 7, but I get up at 4:30.
Holy moly. All right. Wow. All right. You are question number one. Here we go. Tomorrow night, the eyes of the nation will be on the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas for the highly anticipated Mayweather-McGregor boxing match. For visitors flying in to see it in person, there are certainly a number of hotel choices in that town. I want you, Jennifer, to name me any five Las Vegas hotels. Good luck.
The Golden Nugget, the Luxor, the Palms, the, oh my God, the Flamingo.
Oh, sorry. You were on the right track. Of course, there's, you know, the MGM Grand and Treasure Island, Caesar Palace and the Wynn. There's a lot of them, but you did real well. I'm sorry you didn't qualify this time. Thank you for playing anyway.
All right, let's go to Francisco in Fontana. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
By the way, she could have come up probably with 25 of them if she wasn't under that 10-second
timer. Oh, she's right now in her car yelling out the other ones.
That 10-second timer is a killer.
Yeah. And I do feel terrible. I really do. All right, Francisco, let's see how you do here. Conor McGregor is dipping into boxing only this time around, but of course he made his name as a world-class mixed martial artist and champion with the UFC. I hope this is going to be an easy one for you, Francisco. I'm going to ask you to name any five UFC fighters for me. Any five UFC fighters. Will even make it easier by saying past or present. Good luck.
Ken Shamrock.
Ken Shamrock.
I mean, no Tito Ortiz, no Ronda Rousey, no one, I guess, right?
I drew a blank.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. I love that he said Shamrock.
That's the one that he got. That was awesome. All right.
0-2, guys.
Joe in Canoga Park. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thanks.
Now, that one wasn't unreasonably hard, was it?
No.
I don't think so, no.
Okay, but again, pressure.
Yeah, give it to me.
All right, Joe. Joe, as you can imagine, wagering is going to be through the roof on the fight in Las Vegas casinos this weekend. Let's see how you do with this one. Please name for me five other sports besides boxing that you can legally gamble on in the state of Nevada. Good luck.
Football, basketball, college basketball, horse racing, MMA.
I mean, yes.
Yeah.
Well, I did right? say... Oh, yeah. Other I guess than? That is different from boxing. Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Congratulations. Just in under the wire. You qualified. Well done.
I thought he ran out of steam there and was out.
I did too.
But
did
then,
do you think of baseball? Do you think of soccer? Do you think of tennis? Okay,
I don't think he thinks of actual sports that suck.
All right, so at least we've got one guy in the drawing here.
All right, Rudy in San Juan Capistrano. Hi.
Hey guys, good morning.
All right, Rudy, good luck, my friend. Besides hundreds of millions of dollars, the winner of tomorrow night's fight will also be awarded what is being called the Money Belt. It's made up of more than 3 pounds of gold and thousands of precious stones. I want you to name for me any five jewels or precious stones. Good luck.
Diamonds, gold. Not a jewel, is it?
I'm so sorry. There's rubies and emeralds and pearls, turquoise, quartz. There's a lot of them, but I'm sorry you didn't get in this time. Thank you for playing anyway.
All right,
we got time for one more?
Yeah, let's do Walter in South L.A. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Walter. How you been doing listening on hold, buddy?
Pretty nervous. I haven't even gotten that one of them since you guys.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Okay. All right. Hey, are you a music fan?
A music fan? Yeah, I actually am.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's see how you do here. Floyd Mayweather Jr. recently had a very public falling out with his good friend Justin Bieber, so we do not expect to see him at the fight tomorrow night. But besides Justin, can you name for me any five other Canadian musicians, any five Canadian bands or Canadian singers in 10 seconds? Good luck.
God damn, I don't even know Drake, tell you the truth.
Drake is one.
One?
Yeah, you got me on that one.
Oh. Oh.
Sorry. The Avril Lavigne, right. The Weeknd, Alanis Morissette, Arcade Fire. There's a bunch of them, but I'm sorry you didn't make it. Thank you for listening anyway. So what do you guys think? Is it going to be Joe, or do you think it'll be Joe?
I'm thinking it'll be Joe.
The Mayweather-McGregor pay-per-view party pack with the fight and the refreshments and the T-shirts and the hat and the poster courtesy of Mayweather Promotions and Frontier. Hey, Joe.
Thanks a lot, guys.
You win.
Yay! Appreciate it, man.
Enjoy the show, and thanks for playing the game.
Oh, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, LANOC's Alternative Rock. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54. Season 2 of a terrific television show on Viceland called Cyber War is coming back in early October, but we could not wait to talk to the host, Ben Makku, because this has been the summer of hacks here in Hollywood.
Yeah, no kidding.
And he's the guy to tell us all about what it means and what can be done to stop it. Although, if they're getting this Game of Thrones episodes early, do we really want to stop it? I mean, that's
I think
how
we do.
Look at it, right? So we'll talk to Ben coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, it's Friday morning. Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Well, I want to give away some tickets to Jim Jefferies.
Yeah.
Yeah, kids love him. Kids
love
probably
Jim.
Shouldn't go.
Kids probably
is,
should not see Jim
what
Jefferies.
I'm going
right.
to say. Sure. Yeah, it's the Unusual Punishment Tour. This is a pair of tickets to see him on September 16th at the Fred Kavli Theater in Thousand Oaks. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com, but call right now and you can win.
Jim Jefferies says no.
No, Jim, you want them to win these. It's a pair of tickets for September 16th out in Thousand Oaks. Give a call. Caller 10 at 1-800-520-1067, and you will be going to see Jim Jefferies.
Jim Jefferies says no.
How's that going?
Good.
Over there. Good?
Really
all
well.
All right. Excellent. Bean, it's time. We need to talk about this.
Okay.
So last night, Taylor Swift released her new single, Look What You Made Me Do. And people were excited, highly anticipated. Is she going in a new direction? There was word earlier online that it was going to be like R&B rap-inspired album. And I was like, I cannot and
that
I will not.
That would have been the best.
Would it?
Are you kidding? Yeah, because it would have been terrible.
Well, I don't think you'll be disappointed with this.
Okay, good.
See if you can pinpoint anything in these first lyrics, what she might be referencing.
I don't like your little games, don't like your tilted stage, the role you made me play of the fool. No, I don't like you. Ooh, look what you made me do, look what you made me do, look what you just made me do, look what you just made me. Ooh, look what you made me do, look what you made me do, look what you just made me do, look what you just made me do.
Britney Spears?
But she said, I don't like your tilted stage.
Sure.
St. Pablo tour? Kanye?
Gotta be, right?
Gotta
sure.
be.
I would
gotta
think
be.
So.
Gotta be.
Yeah.
And it's a diss track.
It's... I mean,
is it the definition of a diss track when you intentionally write a song calling somebody out?
I mean, it's no
something?
Hit 'em up, but yeah, I guess so. Yeah, people are wondering, okay, that's a Kanye reference. Is there Kim references? Are there references about Katy Perry? That type of thing.
Right.
Here's the ending of the song, though, which, what?
I'm sorry, the old Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Oh, because she's dead. Oh, look what you made me do.
The old Taylor is dead, Kevin. She has shed her skin. She is newly emerged, and she is ready to take on the haters.
Bean, you said yesterday that the last... And Bean loves Taylor
loves
Swift.
Her.
Just
she's, loves
she's
her.
Blindly
she's
loves
my
her.
Favorite.
Right. You said the worst thing she could do is a diss track.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
And?
Hear my whole thing, all right? This is not my favorite era of Taylor, and neither was, look, 1989 was one of the biggest albums ever, right? It won the Album of the Year Grammy, it sold over 10 million copies, had five big top 10 hits, a huge hit. That was like my fourth favorite Taylor Swift album. Okay. We are way past the Taylor that I fell in love with, which was the Fearless Taylor, the Speak Now Taylor, the Red Taylor. Those were my albums.
Yeah. Right.
But I love her as an artist, and she is a legitimate confessional singer-songwriter, and I am interested to follow her on this journey.
Okay.
This isn't going to be one of my favorite Taylor songs of all time, but I'm still excited about the album. I still think she's got things to say. It kind of reminds me of, coincidentally, when Kanye came out with his 808 album, remember? And everybody was like, why is he singing? Why is he using all that?
Thank God.
The vocoder.
Were you going to let this go?
No. It reminds me of that in that look. That wasn't a lot of people's favorite era of Kanye West, but they liked him as an artist, and they want to see what he does next. Okay, I feel the same way about Taylor.
All right.
I get it. And listen, I would be the first to admit if it was good, because I like good music. But I did turn to someone in particular because he has backed Taylor up when she shouldn't have been backed up.
Bean?
No.
Oh.
This is a gentleman that I follow from a website called Barstool Sports.
Yes.
His name is Feidelberg. And I was very curious because I knew he would speak the truth. Here's his review.
New Taylor Swift review. It's terrible. Like, it's really bad. I wanted to like it. I wanted to have, like, the music, the beautiful music she used to make as the one, like, part of our relationship that I could hold on to. But it's gone. Trying to make, like, an edgy hip-hop album when the punchline to your angry lyrics is, I don't like you. I just don't like you. That can't be said. You also can't say that you don't like Kanye West. Smile, because it's the most addictive smile in the history of the world. No one alive can look at a picture of Kanye West smiling and not just feel warm and fuzzy inside. He's got an adorable smile, so don't you dare attack that. And then she comes with, like, I don't do drama, all I think about is karma or something like that. You're the most dramatic person in Hollywood, Taylor Swift. Like, the most. You've had 100 boyfriends. Everyone hates you. You have Lena Dunham as your best friend. And then the Taylor can't come to the phone right now. Why? Because she's dead. You, dude. Jay-Z already did the old kill Jay-Z to bring back the new person. Can't copy that bullshit either. It's terrible. The song sucks. I hated it. If you like it, you're a bad person.
He gets cut off, but I think we get what he's saying. Now, here's the thing. I started to like the song.
What?
After I heard this.
Look what you made me do. Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. Look what you just made me do.
I'm too sexy for my shirt. Too sexy for my shirt. So sexy it hurts.
And the fact that Right Said Fred tweeted, thank you, Taylor Swift. What a marvelous reinvention.
Hey, they're gonna make a ton of money off of it. Are you kidding me?
You guys, basically, Right Said Fred was like, you jacked our song. Right Said Fred! Oh my
That's
God,
awesome.
I love today so much.
You know, what's happening since that Robin Thicke Marvin Gaye lawsuit is that everybody is afraid of getting sued now. If you do something that sounds remotely like something, you just go ahead and give them song credit. Like Ed Sheeran did with that Shape of You song. Mm-hmm. TLC, no scrubs. I mean, they get songwriting credit on. So that's what Taylor did with Right Said Fred. And this, so they could make a ton of money off of this.
Well, I can't wait. We'll talk more about it. We're out of time. But some birthdays today. Sean Connery, Gene Simmons, Tim Burton, Alexander Skarsgård, and Blake Lively. Happy birthday. I'm Allie McCain for Ralph Garman. Walking the show is beat.
About a half an hour or so, we're going to go back out to Las Vegas and talk to Beer Mug, our man on the street correspondent for the Mayweather-McGregor fight. If he's awake. If he's not hungover.
It's a big possibility he will not be available.
And we'll talk to the president of UFC, Dana White, next hour as well. First, though, Kevin, I know you're very excited that we have Ben back on the line. Ben Mack, who is the host of a great show on Viceland that is called Cyber War. As we mentioned a few minutes ago, season 2 returns October 3rd. But we had to get him on because there's been so much hacking in the news. And I believe Ben may be responsible for most of it. So let's see if we can press him for a confession here. Ben, what are you doing with all these Game of Thrones episodes, man?
I'm not watching them.
Oh, all right.
No, I'm definitely watching them. It's an amazing show, but this hack is pretty insane. And
I mean, this isn't the first time that Game of Thrones has been hacked and some of the episodes have been leaked online before.
But, Ben, we were talking about this off the air yesterday. How are people still able to do it so it seems easily? I mean, you've done a feature on America's elite hacking force. We have our own hackers and we have our own defense. And yet somehow, how are they able to completely hack HBO and put anything they want up and then get it most of the time, get away with it?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. This isn't something that, because I have full confidence that HBO actually locked down their systems and the networks to a high degree, especially knowing that they've already been hacked before. And, you know, this is a company that clearly values secrecy, but this speaks to more a wider problem within corporate America. You know, there's companies that think they haven't been hacked, and then there's the companies that have been hacked, and they know it.
Wow. So you think every company has pretty much been hacked?
I think, I mean, the cybersecurity world right now, the way you think about it, or at least kind of the going concept, is that you can't stop a hack. What you can do is stop the severity of the hack.
Okay.
There's ways of doing it, like sandboxing information, making sure that not everything is connected to the same networks. And that's so far it can work, but the problem is that, you know, the hackers are really fond of saying that the biggest weakness is the human weakness. And something like a phishing email campaign that the PLA, which is the People's Liberation Army in China, uses extensively, is a really easy attack, and it actually can gain you access to a lot of things.
So all you need is one employee to click on a wrong link, and you're in.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing, definitely. I think there's definitely a possibility that clicking on that link could allow them to infiltrate a network.
How do these hackers get paid in most cases, I think, and get away with it? How can they not be traced?
Well, I mean, they can hide themselves on proxy servers and different things like that.
But don't the authorities know that?
They do, but the authorities can't do much about it because that technology is still quite strong and quite effective if you're a hacker. I mean, that's the thing, is that a lot of the tools available to these people really do work. So someone like the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, when they're trying to find these people, it is in fact difficult. I mean, ISIS uses Telegram and Signal, some of their networks do, and it's tough to crack that. It's tough to find out what they're saying, what they're doing.
Are our hands tied also in the investigation based on what countries some of these hackers are operating out of?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the other thing, too. You can figure out where they are, but if they're based in Russia, there's no chance you're going to get them.
Well, you ask President Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, that was easy. We got a guy.
That's worked so well.
Yeah, we got a guy.
Ben, are the HBO hackers the same folks that hacked Disney and Netflix earlier this summer?
There's no way of really knowing. I mean, I think right now the HBO hackers, they call themselves Mr. Smith. They clearly did a pretty good, effective job of what they wanted to do because they stole a lot of data. And not only that, they stole some really valuable data. Game of Thrones, which is arguably the most popular television show on planet Earth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They claim that they hacked into their networks, which is pretty difficult to do. So if they did that, they're pretty good.
How should companies like HBO handle this?
To be honest with you, I think HBO has handled this quite well. They're not giving into the scare tactics of the hackers themselves and paying the ransoms. And, you know, I think there was an executive said recently, you know, we're not going to comment every single time more data comes out from this hacker. And I think that's been a pretty, I mean, I'm not a PR professional, but I think it's been a pretty effective way to respond to it. Also, I know that they're doing a full forensic analysis of their computer systems. Which is the smart thing to do to figure out exactly how the breach happened and how you can effectively stop it in the future.
Is this basically the same thing that happened to Sony?
It's possible. There's not a lot of information known out there right now about this hack specifically, but the one difference is it's Sony. It's been well established that was a nation state. It was North Korea. So this one, that's what's interesting to me is who did this. I mean, it could have been simply some people who wanted to brag on hacker forums about what they could do, and they said, "Watch what I can do!" Hacked HBO, which is a hard thing to do.
Yeah,
it could be people trying to get back at HBO for cracking down on pirating. I mean, it's interesting that it's Game of Thrones. I think Game of Thrones, if I'm not mistaken, is the most pirated, most torrented show in history, right. And HBO has been clearly very, very, very strong on cracking down on that. It could be somebody coming back from that.
I'm so surprised and grateful, obviously, that that the information that people were worried about when the hack was first revealed, like home addresses of actors and things like that, I'm so glad that that hasn't flooded the market as, you know, in an attempt to ramp up the pressure to get HBO to pay the ransom.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is – that's what to me is – I think at first they actually claimed to be white hat hackers, which is to say hackers that find security vulnerabilities and try to – help the victim patch them, but I mean, at the same time, they're asking for money, so it's a bit weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's a scary thing about stuff like massive data exfiltrations, stuff like personal information of actors or people are there. I mean, the Sony hacks had, I think they had like the social insurance numbers of tons of employees.
Yeah.
Some of those employees now have to, you know, pay for people to keep an eye on their identities. So it's, that kind of stuff can really, like, hurt not the intended target.
Right. Has anyone checked on Raymond Reddington? Have we thought about that, maybe?
He's a fictional character, B.
Oh, I got confused with the Blacklist, right?
Nope, not real.
Ben, we're almost out of time, but since we probably won't talk to you again before season two premieres on Viceland, what kind of stuff are you going to be doing this season?
Well, I have a very interesting couple episodes on Russia. I was in Russia looking into the DNC hack.
Oh, can you come on before October 3rd?
Yeah, I would love to.
All right.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, check out my trailer and you'll see some weird stuff about DNC that I think will shed some interesting light on that hack that I don't think is out there yet.
I'm very excited about season two. It's one of my favorite shows. But I don't feel like you've helped us a lot today.
Well, you know, everyone always says I'm just a bummer.
Yeah.
I'm just like bummer hacker man. That's what I am.
Exactly. All right, man. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Talk to Muggs in Las Vegas coming up here on K-Rock in about 10 minutes. First, though,
we think.
If he answers the question. We got into a conversation. What brought this up, Kevin? Do you remember?
What brought up cover song?
It was the Ataris.
Yes, Ataris, Boys of Summer. All right, so Kevin made a Don Henley joke, and then we started talking about, wow, I bet a lot of people don't even know that original song because it's so old now. Then we started about cover songs and everything. And then we thought it might be fun, and we got to do a day where we just play cover songs all day because there's so many great K-Rock cover songs. We thought it would be fun to kind of go around the room and just everybody picks a favorite cover song, and we play a little piece of it. What do you think?
I like it.
Why don't you go first?
We have to do a day of it. I agree. And we'll have to get the listeners' suggestions as well because there's so many great covers.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye West Stronger was covered by 30 Seconds to Mars on this BBC One radio. Is that right, Pete? In the morning they have?
Yeah. Yeah. They do a live lounge thing where they have kind of like we do with the Sound Space, but they often ask them, hey, can you do a cover while you're here? And that's the one 30 Seconds to Mars shows.
And I'm not a huge fan of the remakes that are exactly the same. Like the Ataris mm-hmm. is the Don Henley song.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. This is a completely different direction than Kanye went. Don't kill me. I need you to hurry up now, 'cause I can't give much longer. And then it goes on like that, but they changed it entirely.
I'll allow it, by the way.
Bean allows it, you guys.
Bean allows it.
Well, you know, the Kanye version was just a cover of Daft Punk.
Right, sure.
Jeez, come on.
All right, my turn. This is one where, this is a rare one where both versions of the song are K-Rock songs. 1991, Cypress Hill's first ever single was called How I Could Just Kill a Man. 10 years later, Rage Against the Machine did an excellent covers album where they covered the Rolling Stones and Devo and Eric B. and Rakim and a bunch of other bands, and they chose to cover that Cypress Hill song. Here's the Rage Against the Machine version of How I Could Just Kill a Man. And by the way, I love both versions of that
Same.
Song. That's one where the original is great, and the cover is also great,
Same.
But I thought it was worth a mention.
Maybe you reel out a bunch to do it with them as well sometimes.
Right, yeah.
Allie.
I think a lot of you know my favorite era of K-Rock music was the 80s. Give me some synth pop. Give me some Depeche Mode. Give me that. Well, I heard this remake of my favorite Thompson Twins song, which is from the most iconic scene in 16 Candles, I heard this remake on One Tree Hill, Don't Judge, and I thought, how dare you, sir? How dare you redo this? And then 3 seconds in, I'm like, how dare I never heard this before? It's perfect. It's by Carey Brothers, and it is If You Were Here.
Allie's crying.
Do you just put it on at home and just sit over the cake and just stare at it?
But I'm alone. There's no Jake.
So we all don't have good choices then, I guess, right?
That's right? Yeah. It can't all be good.
Yeah.
Take it next go.
How dare you?
Dave?
Yeah, guys, my favorite cover is Muse's Feeling Good. They covered Nina Simone, and it was... The first,
are you crying now?
Oh my. Are you having an aneurysm? What's happening?
This light is killing me.
It's happening.
The very first time I saw him perform it was in concert, and I didn't know it was a cover. So I looked into it and realized that it was Nina Simone, and it led me to her music. So it was such an awesome song, and it's such a different version that I love it, and it's the best, and no one will pick a better song than me.
I'm feeling good. Did they do this in that show in Vegas where they open for Rage?
Yes, and then
play it a lot.
He uses the megaphone and he starts singing to it.
See, now that's a great example, Dave, of a cover song that most Muse fans would have no idea that song is more than 50 years old.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and wouldn't take the time to go back and look for the original.
And don't need to, because that's a better one.
I don't know if it's better, but it's also excellent.
Yeah. You're crazy. You're nuts.
All right, who's next?
I'll go next.
Omar?
So during high school, I was a huge fan. You know, I come from a goth background, okay? So yep. I used to listen to Nine Inch Nails Hurt probably one time a day for a year.
And were you sobbing one of my every time?
No, yeah.
Crying,
yeah, you
cutting
know.
Yourself?
Were you a cutter? I really thought that song couldn't get any better. And then I heard Johnny Cash's version of it.
Yeah.
And it added a whole new meaning and dimension to the song. So that's my pick for best cover.
What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in.
I think you're right, O, in that the entire interpretation of the song changes when it's being sung by somebody in their 30s versus somebody in their 70s.
Totally.
And the video, of course, is just
fantastic.
You know, it just burned into your mind as one of the greatest ever. Good choice.
Thanks. All right, who's up? Christine?
I'll go next.
All right.
So I'm probably going to get a little hate from this choice.
Beautiful.
But the original band is just such an iconic K-rock band.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard this cover, I was just so surprised that... For some reason, it stuck with me even more than the original, mm-hmm. even though I love that original song. And my favorite era of music is that 90s to early 2000s emo era.
Right.
And so this band is called the Get Up Kids,
mm-hmm.
and they cover The Cure's Close to Me.
That's an awful cover.
Come on. What is wrong with you?
The original is 1,000 times better.
Look, if you don't like that
That's
style of music,
cover.
I knew Kevin was going to be such a hater. It was Omar that was going to give me the hate.
Such a hater. The girls can't play this game. Come on, Chip. Save it, Chip. Save them.
All right, so obviously there's no surprise my favorite band is The Offspring.
Right.
And they do some great covers. They cover AFI, they cover AC/DC, they do a great cover of Hey Joe. But my favorite is a cover of one of my favorite other punk bands, The Damned. Smash It Up.
We've been crying out for but too long, and now I'm gonna dance to a different song. I'm gonna scream and shout to my dying breath. I'm gonna smash it up till there's nothing left. Smash it up.
Yeah, it's real good.
That's real good.
It's real good, you guys.
It's only Christine's was bad?
Hey! Yep.
And Allie's?
Yeah. Hey.
Kevin, you did 30 seconds to Mars Stronger.
And that was a good choice.
All right,
so we made the smart choice to send Beer Mug to Vegas.
Yeah, we did.
To help cover the Mayweather-McGregor fight.
We got Dana White next hour, by the way, on the same subject, but I don't think he'll bring us anything as entertaining as what Beer Mug has delivered.
What's up, party people? Beer Mug here in Las Vegas. The biggest fights in combat sports history. It's Mayweather. Gosh, shut the up. Me. That guy just looked at me like, wow, what's wrong with him?
Right?
What up, everybody? It is Beer Mug here in What is up? Beer Mug here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
What's happening?
Why is he trying to sound so tough?
I don't know what
he's
doing. Why
is he badass Mugs?
I don't know.
What's up, everybody? I'm here in Las Vegas.
Maybe he's getting into fight hype mode.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mugs?
I'm a fighter, man. Don't mess with me, man.
I thought you were a lover.
You know, it depends. If you push me, I'll fight back. You know what I'm saying?
Muggs, are you having a good time in Las Vegas? I'm guessing yes.
Yeah, I don't know why you send me to places that have easy access to gambling and drinking, but...
Because you're disciplined enough to avoid that.
Because we know that you recognize you're there to work and you're a professional, and that comes first.
Let's hear a little bit more of the intro.
I stayed up a little too late last night, you know what I'm saying? Trying to get even with the casino. I now know why they build all these new hotels, and I'm just glad that they didn't take my firstborn. I'm just glad they didn't take my firstborn child yesterday.
Whatever.
My firstborn. Do I have a boy or a girl? I can't remember.
How much did you lose, Muggs?
Well, I had called the offer line. Now at that point, I lost 400, and as we stand right now, I'm down about 600.
But you can win that back.
You'll get that back.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm just going to do the right thing and walk away finally.
Please.
But then you walk away a loser.
Wait
Are
a
you
minute.
A loser, Muggs?
Hold on. Are you still Muggs?
Yes.
Okay, then we know what you're going to do.
You got to win it back, man. It's about honor at this point. Don't let them slap you around like that.
Right?
Now, yeah, I'll probably get even tonight.
Now, sure. Now,
there's our boy.
Now, Muggs got to interview a UK boxer named Chris Eubank.
Yes.
And this is just gold.
Yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a success. You'll be a beacon. You will be a man.
That I can listen not only to you speak, Mr. Eubank, but those... How... You seem like such a virtuous guy, and it is so inspiring because...
Now, this is what I love most about Muggs, is he has no idea where this is going, but right. He's just going to keep talking
ride it out
until he finds an angle.
I am not happy with how my life is going right now. I don't take myself serious, which I think is a good thing, but also...
Good or bad?
It hinders me a little bit.
Okay. Oh.
But to hear you speak, sir, is truly awe-inspiring. I didn't even know Rudyard Kipling had it in him to say that. I mean, they're quite virtuous words.
This is a particular letter he wrote to his son.
Wow.
It actually ends, "You'll be a man, my son."
Wow.
So, you know, this is for everybody.
Yes.
We listen to the elders.
Yes.
And in regards to yourself, where you say, you know, you're not, or you don't have, you know, always keep that covered and always strive to be positive.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Holy you, therapy you two have from to, Chris Eubank.
Yes, no kidding, right? You two must do a podcast together, Muggs.
I need it, Muggs.
Why were you laying so much heavy stuff on this man's lap who's just there to talk about boxing?
He's just doing an interview, and you're like, I'm not happy with my life.
He just inspired me to do the right thing. He was a very smart man.
And then you went out and lost another $200?
Yeah. Yeah.
I just loved that somehow you guys got into Rudyard Kipling.
Yeah, that's funny. Well, he started quoting it, of course, not Muggs.
Yeah.
Then he talks to Brendan Schaub, who we've had on the program before.
I love Brendan.
And actually has some insight about the fight.
Floyd, I hear, sits normally at 154, and Conor obviously has to cut weight.
Yeah.
You think that'll affect McGregor?
No, I think, you know, Floyd's given Conor every opportunity to do well in this fight. 154 pounds, Conor fights. His ideal fighting weight is 155 at lightweight in the UFC. For Floyd, he has to actually gain weight to make 154, so They're 8-ounce gloves now, which obviously favors Connor as well if he's going for a knockout. So Floyd's doing everything he can to make this a competitive fight.
Did they just lower the weight, the glove sizes recently, or have they always been at 8?
No, they just lowered them about a week ago.
You didn't tell him you didn't like your life.
You know, I wasn't feeling bad at that point.
Hey, Muggs, listener Tim writes in and says the way to win your money back in Las Vegas is to drop a couple of hundred on McGregor.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the odds.
I got to go check the odds at the book right now.
Okay. I mean, it's something to think about. I mean, literally, you could wipe that whole thing out with, you know, just 5 seconds of pushing that money across the table. At the
right?
Guy.
Well, 5 seconds, Muggs.
Don't think I have a thought about that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So then Muggs takes us behind the scenes of this press conference and of everything that's going on in Las Vegas, and it's very enlightening.
This is the gigantic media center, and I wanted to take you guys inside to give you a little... I almost had it. And I wanted to take you guys inside to show you a little bit about what goes on here. And I'm here at the media center, and I wanted to... Oh, my God. The sun me up.
Right.
If Kevin were here, he would have died and gone to heaven. I mean, look, we got churros. You can make your own s'mores.
All right, now Muggs goes into his food chunk.
Okay.
And it's a long one.
Look at that. Look at that marshmallow roasting right there. That was quite fantastic. Oh, that's a great marshmallow. I need to put some chocolate on that marshmallow. I need to put some graham crackers on that marshmallow. You think this is what the fighters are eating before the fight? I'm going to shove everything in my mouth. All the marshmallows. Look. Oh.
What?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I mean, what happened to the behind-the-scenes look? What about the media center and everything from behind the scenes?
That's why you send your best reporter out there, and that's me. I get all the hard-hitting stuff.
You quit, and then you started eating marshmallows. At one point in your coverage, you said that something fell on the ground, and you picked it back up and put it back in your mouth.
Yeah, that happened.
Oh, Muggs.
Muggs, did you forget that you were recording while you had those marshmallows in your mouth? Because it kind of sounds like you just zoned out a little bit.
I was so focused on the buffet, the dessert buffet.
Really?
I wasn't aware of my surroundings.
God, what's happening right now?
Can Muggs be in Las Vegas full time? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:51.
It is Friday, and nope. Allie...
It's
what?
Not Friday.
It is.
It's Friday, and there's a D in the middle of that word, and there always will be.
It's also a two-thirds Christmas, so thank you for all of the greetings on social media for that. I'm right there with you. Happy holidays. First, though, Allie's in for rough with the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Wow. You guys remember Alamo Drafthouse when they did the women's only screening of Wonder Woman?
Yes.
And dudes got all in their feelings like, that's sexist, you're not allowed to do that.
Well, there were guys who were trying to suggest that it was discrimination and illegal.
Yeah, because there was nowhere else to see the movie except...
And those guys are idiots.
Yeah, I think that's safe to say.
Okay.
Well, they're up to it again, but this time... Oh, my God. They are offering a clowns-only screening of Stephen King's It. You guys.
I mean, honestly.
This is the greatest idea ever that I would never go to because it's terrifying.
Never go to?
No.
Oh, I need to go to this.
There are 3 clowns-only showings, all at Austin, Texas theaters on September 9th, the day after... It opens in the U.S. But on their website, they say, please arrive early and join us in the Barrel O' Fun. They're going to have face painters available for clown touch-ups, a photo booth, raffle for prizes, and other terrifying merriment. Please arrive in your own Pennywise best and be ready to float with us. Brilliant. Like, can Alamo Drafthouse be any better?
No, that's awesome.
That's fantastic. I love the horn.
I need to go.
It's just good. Yeah, that's fantastic. September 9th, if you guys want to head out to Austin. We talked about Taylor Swift's new single last hour.
How terrible it is, yes.
Not quite the new music I wanted yesterday. I got it instead from the new Queens of the Stone Age album. Came out yesterday, Villains. It is freaking fantastic. I remember when we had Josh Homme on, we played the single the way you used to do. Here's a little bit.
Doesn't matter now, just color up my house.
to do.
So I was awesome. I was so pumped. I'm like, this is going to be good. Yeah, they did not disappoint at all. We also have a little clip. It's called Head Like a Haunted House. Tonight. It's out. It's so good. I tweeted about it last night, and I'll stand by it. It is some straight-up boning music. People are going to be boning a lot to this
And what
album.
Are you going to be doing?
I'm going to be wishing them well. Congratulations, all of you boning. That must be fun. Well, we talked about Katy Perry. She's hosting the VMAs on Sunday. But you know how she's going to be a judge on American Idol, getting paid a ridiculous amount of money.
Yes.
And people were wondering, well, what's her role going to be? There really hasn't been a Simon-type person since Simon. Well, Katy Perry has no plans on being a cute little pushover. She says she's planning to go the Simon Cowell route.
Oh.
And says she really respects the nasty producer and thinks he's simply truthful. So that could be an interesting spin.
On brand for Katy at all.
It doesn't. It doesn't. But
not at all.
We will soon see. She's also angling for Lionel Richie to join her at the judges' table because she said, quote, he can charm the whole room. And I don't doubt that. She also thinks Charlie Puth would be a fresh addition to the cast. So I feel like they need to hire some people quickly.
To actually make these decisions.
Yeah, round out that yeah. judges' table. Pretty quick.
Here's all I know about Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Katy Perry. You go, girl.
And here's all I know about Lionel Richie.
That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
All right.
It's just Hall good. Of Fame!
It's just good. That is it. Hey, you guys, TMZ is going to get some competition.
Is that right?
Yeah. Deadline is reporting that the New York Post is getting into the TV business with Page Six TV. It's a syndicated daily show named after its famous gossip column, which is set to launch Monday, September 18th. Now, here's the thing. The show is already cleared in more than 200 markets, covering 98% of the country, including Fox TV stations in 16 markets. That's a lot of markets
wow.
that said, I'm in on this. And comedian John Fugelsang will be hosting. So that's interesting, right?
Sure.
Think Harvey's nervous?
No.
Not even a little?
No, I think they pretty much cornered that market.
Yeah, you're probably right. Not sure if you saw this story yesterday. I found it interesting. You know that song, That Don't Impress Me Much, by Shania Twain?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like maybe because she's finally coming out with her first album in 15 years, she's like, I hope people remember me. I need to get my name back out there. So this came out yesterday. The inspiration of that song, naked pictures of Brad Pitt.
Okay.
Ouch, first of all. She said, I remember I had a girlfriend visiting me, and it was near Christmas. We were baking cookies. I was writing this album, and there was a scandal of Brad and Gwyneth Paltrow, naked pictures of him. And it was all the rage, and she looked at the picture and said, that don't impress me much. Which, wow. And then I started thinking.
Did we know that's what it was about before, ever?
No.
I know.
Never heard of it. She's told the story.
The first.
Well, that's funny.
But I was thinking about it yesterday, and I was like, if a dude said, yeah, I was looking at these leaked pictures of this chick, so I wrote this song body shaming him, we would be freaking out because that's rotten.
Yeah.
That is a rotten thing to do, Shania Twain. Stop being rotten.
Plus, if Brad Pitt is below your line.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm saying.
What does impress you?
Then no wonder your husband cheated on you with your best friend, Shania.
Oh,
remember?
Snap.
Remember they swapped spouses? Shania Twain and
really?
Her husband. Yes, they divorced and then married another couple that had broken up.
Oh,
it was
dear.
It was double
adultery. She married him and he married her.
Yes.
Wow. Ooh, scandalrific.
Right?
I just thought that you never had to say that.
Right.
I didn't like it. Something else I don't like. People suing Judge Judy. How dare you?
How dare they?
How dare you? She's being sued by Rebel Entertainment, claiming they're owed 5% of her signature show's profits.
That's baloney.
That's what she said.
It doesn't make sense.
Mm-mm. She seriously disagrees and testified during a deposition that she negotiates her own deal with the president of CBS every year. Here's why I'm telling you
this
story.
That's true, by the way.
Because she says they meet for dinner. She hands him an envelope with her salary requests, insists they eat before he takes a peek, and then that's pretty much it. That's amazing. Judge Judy's like, here you go. Slides it over to him like Les Moonves, and he's like, all right, what do you want to eat? That's fantastic. She is the greatest ever. She also says she hasn't spoken with the man that's suing her, the chief of Rebel Entertainment, in 21 years. So this is kind of coming out of left field for
her.
Did
she stand up in court and say,
so you get Zippo, nada?
I assume so.
Did she rule on her own case?
I bet she did. I've watched that show all day.
Same.
Judge Judy gets sued. Oh, that's just good stuff. All of these stars were born today, August the 25th. Actor Sean Connery is 87. Gene Simmons is 68. Director Tim Burton, 59. Actor Alexander Skarsgård is 41. And actress Blake Lively is 30. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Dana White, president of the UFC. By the way, I wonder how much money he's making off of the fight this weekend.
All.
He gets a cut of everything, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be joining us later this hour here on KROQ. And don't forget, as we do every Friday at 9 a.m., we'll give you a chance to keep it 100. You'll get a chance to request any KROQ song. If we've got it, we'll play it. That's coming up in about 45 minutes. We'll tell you more as we get closer. First, though, Allie, did you do this story earlier this week? Or is this?
I did.
All right. What was the story with Justin Theroux? It was a showbiz misconnection, right?
Yeah. It was basically like if he had just woken up, Hollywood would be so much different. He basically just slept through, wasn't in the mood, didn't feel like going to an audition, and it was for Friends, where he could have been with his future wife, Jennifer Aniston, 20 years earlier than he was, but he was like, he said he couldn't be bothered. He
couldn't just get out of bed.
Just moved to New York. He wasn't into it. Whatever.
I didn't bother. I slept in that day, he revealed in a new interview. He also says, by the way, that he doesn't regret it at all sleeping in because he, at that age, would not have been prepared at all for the fame. Because look what happened to all those Friends actors, you know? I mean, that's not for everybody, that's for sure.
Plus, it wasn't Friends then, right?
No, it was just some show.
It was just an upcoming show that no one knew about.
Right.
That's a great point, Kevin. Right. Yeah, that's a great point. He could have gone and made a pilot and then it'd never have been heard from again.
Right.
So that kind of got us on the topic, though. And I know, you know, every once in a while we come up with a topic that we just know is perfect for specifically Kevin Bean listeners. And that is you overslept and missed it. You didn't get out of bed. You should have been in a thing. We want to hear the outcome of what you missed. Like, I'm sure we have a lot of listeners whose whole family left on international vacations without them because they just couldn't get out of bed. Right.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of stories we're looking for. What did you miss by oversleeping or sleeping in one day? 1-800-520-1067. That's the number you can call or text. And we didn't have to look far to find somebody that this happened to. Our own beloved assistant producer, Christine, is here. Hey, Christine.
Hey, guys. So what
happened? You're not
going
to play that song again, are you?
No.
Okay.
It's really good. I'm sorry that you guys don't understand good music.
Right,
but
that's what we meant.
So what had happened was, I think it was 22 or 23.
Mm-hmm.
So working three jobs, crazy, crazy hours, probably like 20 hours a day. And it was my birthday. So my friends had a little birthday dinner for me. It was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting home, changing, and the next thing I knew, it was like 10 o'clock.
Oh, no.
I looked at my phone.
What time were you supposed to have done something?
I think seven. I was supposed to be there.
Oh.
So I looked at my phone and there were like 20 missed calls. And here's the thing, because at that time it was like a couple of friends from high school, a couple of friends from college, a couple of friends from here at KROQ. None of them knew each other. So there's all these people sitting in the lobby of this restaurant, like, finally go, are you guys like Christine's friend?
Wow, that's so weird.
Yeah. So like no one can get a hold of me. They all had dinner. I showed up just as everyone was paying the bill.
Sweet.
Oh, I know.
That's very nice.
Now, were they mad at you or did they cut you a lot of slack because it was your birthday, A, and B, they knew how crazy your schedule was?
Well, I think everyone knew I had three jobs. And so I was working overnights. I was working here. It was crazy. And I mean, you know, you guys got to do what you got to do. And so I think they all felt bad that I had this overnight shift.
shift into a day job.
Not
into,
bad enough that they didn't meet, though.
I know. They totally went without me. Didn't
Nobody
wait.
Nobody drove to your house to see what was up.
Yeah, I could have been dead, but yeah, you know no one cared.
Let's just order.
Yeah, who wants apps?
We're good. Why wait for the guest of honor?
Yeah, seriously. It wasn't my birthday or anything. You know?
All right. How about you, Kevin?
Well, this won't surprise you, but remember, Bean, you know that I worked at an oldies radio station in Phoenix?
And hated every song you had to play.
Hated it. Yep. Hated it so much. And I was doing an afternoon shift, and then the morning guy wanted me to work with him on the morning show as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I slept in the first day till about 8.
Oh, no.
Which won't surprise you, as I have slept in here quite often. And I got there about 8:30, and he's like, interesting, that's a nice way to start. And that's all he ever said to me about it. Never, I didn't get fired. I should have. Didn't.
That is hilarious.
But it's not a surprise now knowing me, right?
We're really forgiving in radio, huh? Anywhere else
some
you would have been
people
fired.
Are, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's kind of like a, you know, I mean, you were already working there, but in a way, it was a new responsibility. It was kind of like your first day on
right.
a new shift.
Right,
you know
and
what I mean?
Really wanted to impress, so I slept
sure.
in till
yeah.
8.
Do you remember what went through your mind the second your eyes opened?
Yeah, it's just the terror of I'm fired, but oh well, I hated that job, but I need to pay bills.
How could you have hated that job? You hadn't started yet.
No, I was working in the afternoons
and
I hated it, but then the guy wanted me to do mornings as well, so I was trying to do both, and that didn't work out at all.
That's fantastic. So. All right, 1-800-520-106. Have it calls or texts. You slept in and missed what? Let's try Josh Roland Heights. He'll get us started here. Line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Josh.
Yes, I worked in New York for an attorney named Jay Goldberg, and I did a really good project. And he said, hey, we're going to have a luxury meeting next tomorrow, and you should be there so the guy you're meeting with could potentially hire you for a big case. That guy was Donald effing Trump.
No way.
I've made my decision. You're fired.
If you had not overslept, you might be the attorney general right now.
That would actually work out. That was in my, that was in my wheelhouse.
But oh, my
out.
God.
It works out.
Yeah, you're good.
Here in California.
You're good, Josh. Thanks for the call.
That's awesome. Thank you for the call. Let's try Albert, Los Angeles, line 1, please.
All right. Hey, Albert, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Good morning.
We are good. Good morning. You missed something because you slept in.
Yeah. I started writing movie scripts for a while. I quit my job, became a quote-unquote script writer.
Oh.
And finally, after the grind of everything that I was going through, my wife was my agent at the time, I got a meeting with Lionsgate to sell my first horror script.
All right.
Long story short, she forgot to set the alarm. I forgot to set the alarm. We missed the meeting.
You missed the meeting.
No.
And that is not impressive for the studio, is it?
It was right after they had the success with Saw, so they went into the whole horror thing.
Oh, no.
I had a great script. And
did you call them back and say, so sorry, can we reschedule?
My wife called, and she said they stopped taking her calls after a while because it wasn't professional. That was my first meeting. I mean, I had no, I had no repertoire, no nothing.
Albert, that's
however,
you fired her, right?
She's my wife. I don't think I.
I'm saying
fired.
Yeah, fired her, though.
I mean, she didn't get her client to a meeting on time. It's really on her,
fire
Albert. That's
her
how I look at
in
it.
In both roles.
Yeah, the good thing is that you know what she ended up. It was a kind of a good thing because I ended up writing a kids' book. It's called Always in Your Dreams. I think I left a copy for you guys there. I called you guys.
Well, we don't care about that. Thank you for the call, Albert.
Oh, Albert.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. You slept in and missed what? We'll take more calls next on K-Rock.
Ahead of Green Day, we've got some texts, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Yeah, what did you oversleep and miss? Justin Theroux could have been on Friends if only he hadn't slept in that day and forgot to go to the audition. Kevin writes in from Texas, listening to the show in Texas, by the way. I can't call. I'm at work. When I was a kid, I was a huge fan of the Spanish rock band Maná. Remember them, Kevin? We
sure.
had them on the show
sure.
one time. They are the U2 of Spanish rock. And at the time, my aunt worked at a Spanish radio station in Los Angeles, and the band was paying a visit to the station early one morning. My aunt knew what a super fan I was, and she invited me to the station for a meet and greet with my favorite band. But me being the lazy ass that I was, she even tried waking me up that day, and I didn't get up.
Oh,
well,
man.
She left, went without me. Who could blame her? I never got to meet Maná, my favorite Spanish rock band. So he slept in and missed it. He was so excited about it. Yet couldn't. I mean, sometimes that pillow just feels too good, you guys.
Sure.
Yeah.
1-800-520-1067. You slept in and missed what? More calls and texts coming up after Green Day on K-Rock. I love our listeners so much. They're really coming through on this phone topic. You could not get out of bed. You overslept and missed. missed what? That's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. Sam is going to be my favorite call, I can already tell you. Ontario, line 3, please.
Hey, Sam.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the show. You slept in and missed?
I actually slept in. I had to turn myself into jail at 8 a.m. And I didn't end up waking up till about noon.
Oh, no.
So when I went into, I had to go to the police station to turn myself in. They refused me, issued a warrant, and then I took a measly 30-day jail sentence into a 6-month jail sentence as they ran a concurrent all my
time. Oh, my God.
No.
Oversleeping cost you 6 months, well, 5 months. 5 months of freedom.
5 months. That's correct.
That's going to be tough to beat. And we're not going to ask what you did, Sam.
I'd kind of like to know. I'm
we
curious.
Like you right now, and
I'm
we
curious,
don't want it
though.
To be. It wasn't what something
was
awful,
it?
Was it?
What was it?
No, I was actually, I struggled with drugs as a kid, so it was just a possession charge.
Okay. Oh.
Wow.
I mean, yeah. I'm holding right now, so I get it, Sam.
All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Listen to this, by the way. This is from Knockwind, who tweeted at us, at Kevin and Bean. I overslept the day my dinosaur was put on exhibition after months of digging, a year of preparation, and then sigh. That would have been a big deal if a dinosaur was being revealed that you helped, you know, unearth and whatnot. And
I would think so.
He or she wasn't even there for it.
All right, let's go to Jacob in Lake Elsinore. Hi there.
Morning, bird people.
Hi there. So you slept in and missed what?
I missed a trip to Mount Pilatus.
You missed a trip?
Yeah, it was a senior trip, and we had paid extra to go to Mount Pilatus. We're in Liechtenstein. We overslept, missed the bus, and they ended up taking off without us. And we thought it was a smart idea to go try and catch a couple trains and make it to Heidelberg and cut them off, and we missed them.
Did you ever meet up with them again?
Oh, yeah. After they were done with their trip in Mount Pilatus, they all came down and found us sitting on a bench and it wasn't too fun. You know, they all showed everything that they got while they were
Look at these pictures. Look at this. This is so cool.
Once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Well, next time you're in Liechtenstein, you can check it out. Thank you for the call, Jacob. Let's go to Upland Line 5. This is going to be David up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, David.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thank you. You slept in and missed what?
I didn't miss, but I was late to my brother's wedding. About 3 weeks ago, he got married in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
The bachelor party was on Friday. Of course, the wedding was on Saturday. We woke up Saturday morning.
Never ever a good plan.
You're saying the bachelor party was the night before the wedding in Vegas?
Oh yeah, it was a true bachelor party, true wedding. You know.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. So you didn't miss the wedding?
I didn't miss the wedding, but I was here. The wedding, like I said, the bachelor party was on Friday.
Right.
The wedding was Saturday. We actually woke up Saturday morning. Everything was fine. A little hungover, of course. And we went to the pool house, to cabana, hung out for a couple of hours because the wedding was until 7 o'clock. So around 2 o'clock, everybody decided to go back to the hotel room, say, hey, we're going to take a nap.
Right.
Like another fell asleep, and at five, the wedding's at 7. At 5:55, my buddy's wife pounding on my door, saying, "We're late for the wedding. We're late for the wedding."
Okay, thank you for the call, David.
From the 760, the one and only time I ever tried cocaine was the night before my state exam to become a CNA, which we think might be a certified nursing assistant. I couldn't fall asleep until 5 a.m. Needless to say, I overslept and never did it again. Also from the 323, hey, Kevin and Bean, I slept in and missed breakfast with Jack White.
That was so good.
Let's do one more. Let's make it Juan Lakewood, please. Line one.
All right. Hey, Juan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks. You slept in and missed?
Yeah, I slept in and I missed a giant commission check. I work in the fitness industry.
Yeah.
And I missed it.
What do you mean you missed it? Didn't they just save it for you?
No, they did not. So what it is a 6 a.m. appointment. I'd been set up multiple times. I decided, probably not worth it. They're not going to show up. I come in later that day around 10 o'clock. My boss says, what happened? I asked him what he's talking about. He says the person that came in at 6 o'clock came in and bought $8,000 worth of training.
Oh, dude. Oh, wow.
So whoever the lucky salesman that was there at the time, he got the commission.
Yep, he made around $1,200 to $1,500 in commission with 20 minutes worth of talking.
Sweet. Mm. But you felt so fresh, so clean when you woke up, right?
It's kind of
worth
real
it.
Real good.
Yeah, that made it all better.
Thanks, Watt.
Here's what surprises me, you guys, is that Mayweather-McGregor is tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
And Dana White hasn't done a single interview on
the topic.
He hasn't
said a word about it? Are you kidding me?
Why would that happen?
I don't know. I guess he's just downplaying this. He's just being low-key Dana White, not even talking about it.
What's happening?
Hey, boss. How are you guys?
How many have you done, Dana?
Oh, my God. It's been crazy.
Have you done more than any other fight in your history?
Oh, by far.
By far, yeah.
Absolutely.
Really?
Not even, yeah. It's insane.
Yeah. I saw you yesterday out after media day, after you did all that talking at media day, then you were holding court out in front of the building with people from all over the world, and you were like, you were barely processing questions yesterday. At a certain point, you just said, I'm so freaking fried, I don't even know what I'm saying, I don't know what you're saying, I don't know what city I'm in. I mean, you can't wait for this thing to be over, right?
No, Sunday can't come fast enough for me. Yes, and you are exactly right. I've been doing press leading up to this thing since we did the world tour, but then this week has been nuts, and yesterday I was done, I was fried, and I wasn't even supposed to be doing that scrum. I went down and squared the fighters off. I was leaving and I got surrounded by media.
Yeah, but that can't surprise you at this point.
I was just like, guys, stop. I'm done.
Hey, you talked about, I know we have a million questions. We're just going to fire them at you as fast as we can with whatever time we have, Dana. But you brought up something, or a reporter did, that I didn't know anything about, and I think our listeners would enjoy it. What's this controversy, this thing that was dropped in your lap about the Irish national anthem for tomorrow night?
Yeah, so, you know, we're not doing production for this thing.
Meaning the UFC, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Showtime is. And so we get a call like, hey, we got Demi Lovato for the American National Anthem. You guys need to figure out who you're getting for Ireland. We're like, what?
Why do we have to figure that out?
Yeah, what are you talking about? So we have to do this? So we have like 4 days, you know, to pull this, you know, out of our, you know. So we call, who are you going to call?
William Hung. What?
Called Jimmy Iovine.
Jimmy Iovine, sure. Of course. Okay.
So, you know, the first guy we're thinking of is Bono.
Mm-hmm.
And Bono wants to do it, but you know, you're going to give the guy 3 days' notice. You're going to give Bono 3 days' notice to come do something like this.
Right.
So he has a wedding. He's going to a wedding on Saturday. He can't do it. So then we start going down the line, man, and looking. And I'm literally getting ideas and getting the name of some people, and I'm trying to call Ireland myself to make these calls. It was it was a nightmare.
Did you end up with anyone?
Yeah, Dana White's going to be singing it.
Yeah, I'm singing the national anthem of Ireland this Saturday.
Dana, have you spent a lot of time with Floyd? You didn't know Floyd before this, I bet, right?
Oh no, I've known Floyd for 21 years.
Oh, you have? No kidding.
Oh, yeah. I've known Floyd for a very long time.
He's a dick, right? I mean, come on. Let's just say it.
You know what? Floyd's not a bad guy.
Hold up. Not a bad guy.
We've had our differences, Floyd and I, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, I have a pretty decent relationship with Floyd.
Okay, your relationship might not be bad, but a man that beats his girlfriend in front of their child is, by definition, a bad guy.
Are we talking about the relationship? You're asking me about the relationship that I've had.
All right.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, your relationship with him is fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that's what you meant.
Okay.
You know, seriously, how's your relationship with Floyd?
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. So a lot of people have been wondering because the press tour was such a spectacle with the things that they were throwing at one another, and it got a little heated and a little out of hand, some people thought. What's the actual level of animosity between these guys? And we know that you're a promoter and you want to, you know, you want it to be, you want people to want to be invested in these guys, but are they just playing along, laughing all the way to the bank, or do they really genuinely have it in for one another?
Well, I'm going to tell you how this whole thing started, really.
Okay.
With the animosity between them. When we went to L.A. for the first, part of the world tour, we didn't know what we were walking into. Showtime is the distributor for this event, and we felt a little set up.
Is that
like
right?
We were,
Yeah, like we were blindsided. And funny, you were just talking about the, you know, Floyd, you know, hitting his girlfriends or wives or whatever it might be. Connor started to say that on the microphone, and they cut the mics on him.
Oh, you're kidding.
Hmm. Yeah. They're saying they didn't cut the mics, but oh, come on. As soon as he starts saying, the only time we had mic trouble the entire, you know, tour. So they got a lot of heat for that.
And did that tick Floyd off, like to the point where that makes him want to hit Connor?
Well, no. At the next stop, which was Toronto, Connor went off and just started smashing everybody, including Showtime, Espinoza, who was the television executive. He called him a weasel.
Right.
You know, and just that's when everything started to go south. So it's not like there's some, oh, we got to have this animosity or we got to build the fight. That's how it all got started.
It's right legit.
Right up to them calling us on Tuesday and telling us we need to find somebody to sing the, you know, the Irish national anthem.
Right. We are talking to the president himself, UFC's Dana White here. Of course, McGregor, Mayweather is going to be tomorrow night, MGM Grand Las Vegas. You still can buy tickets for it, or you can get it on pay-per-view, which I know you should, and I know you can, and I know you will. What was the thing that Floyd dropped yesterday also, or the day before, Dana, about he was accusing Connor of unfairly using IVs to cut weight? I'm sorry, I'm not knowledgeable enough to understand what the hell he's talking about there.
What's hilarious about that is he was saying that Connor was using IVs during this camp, when it was actually Mayweather who started a bunch of controversy, was in trouble for using IVs on the when he fought Pacquiao.
Tell us why IVs are negative.
Yeah, why is there a limit on hydration?
Yeah, because you're not allowed to, you know, these guys are both, you know, being tested by the United States Anti-Doping Association.
Right.
And part of that is IVs. You have to cut weight the proper way, because you can't come in, cut all this weight, and then come back and weigh 180 the next day by you know, using IVs.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We don't have much time left, Dana. If your boy wins this fight, is it the greatest upset in sports history?
To a lot of people, yes. The way that the people are looking at this fight and saying that he doesn't belong in there, he doesn't have a chance, he doesn't this and that, I love those type of people, because, yes, that will make it the greatest upset in all of sports history. I won't feel that way, but that will be the case because of the way people have treated this fight.
No, you're a Pats fan. We know what the greatest upset was, right, Dana? Okay, one thing I think we can agree on, that money belt is the biggest travesty in the history of sports.
That's the best belt ever.
That is the worst thing I've ever seen.
You love it.
Awful. Dana, get off my phone.
These guys, if you look at these guys' personalities the way that they are, you couldn't have a better belt.
Yeah, that's true. When you consider the fighters.
Diamonds and alligator skin.
I can't.
Yeah, it's absurd.
You got an event, Dana, that is maybe end up being the biggest pay-per-view of all time. It is completely irresistible. I hope you guys have a great time out there tomorrow night. We can't wait to find out what happens. And thank you for squeezing us in on an insane
one more question week. Just before you go, and that's John Jones. Do you think that will hold up?
He's going to have to, again, USADA, United States Anti-Doping Association, and the California State Athletic Commission will be determining what happens to John Jones' future.
Mm. All right. Fair enough. Keep us posted. Thanks, Dana. Have a great weekend.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Dana. Bye now. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:52.
Our listeners have not disappointed in all the weeks we've been doing Keep It 100. I think they have made some excellent choices.
We've been very close to some disasters, though.
Yes.
Very close.
99 and 101.
Oh, my God. We don't want to play that song.
That is actually true. So far, we've been doing okay. So 1-800-520-1067. Every week at this time, we open up the phones and allow you to request. And we will play, if we've got it in the system, we'll play it any K-Rock song you like, past or present. Here's a quick montage of the songs we picked so far. Hi, my name is Honey. All right.
That's a pretty good list of songs
It is. So now it's on you. 1-800-520-1067. Text us now. The 100th texter, you get to be on the air and introduce your favorite K-Rock song.
Now, we know that normally you don't put your name on a text because the person that you're texting knows who it's from, but we don't. So put your name on it so that we can call you back and hold you accountable for your choice.
And we do have to text you back to get your permission to call you because we're not allowed to just call people. So be sure to answer your phone, too, if you ever have a phone.
Sure, there's that.
All right. Allie Zipper-Rob with the Show Biz Beat here on a Friday. What's going on?
Remember when Brad from Chino Hills requested Chumbawamba? And he did it as a joke.
He did it on purpose because he thought it was funny because that song gets stuck in your head.
Yet all of us loved hearing it.
Yep.
We were like, that sounds great
on
a Friday.
And I sang it for the whole weekend.
I love it. I love it so much. So what I'm saying is send in Detachable Penis.
I mean, we have been getting that every week.
We need it.
Just not 100.
I just came across this... this survey, and I just thought it was funny, and I immediately thought of Bean. A British survey has found that 33% of people would cheat on their partner with a robot. 33%!
And your question is the same as mine, why so low?
Why so low?
With a robot?
With a robot!
Because is it really cheating?
What?
I mean, honestly.
Yeah. I guess that is the rationale, right?
Yeah, it's not cheating.
Bean is one of those 33%.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I am 100% 33%.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, I guess how could it be cheating? Because then,
it's a sex toy.
Is your hand cheating?
That's how you have to look at it that way, yeah.
Is your hand cheating? Depends on where your hand is.
That's a great point,
Kevin. Thank you.
Wow. That's a great point. Abby Lee Miller, you know her from Dance Moms.
Sure.
She went to prison because, you know, she's not great.
Right.
Wasn't it bilking money? What was she doing? I don't even know. Sorry if that wasn't it, allegedly. But she is quickly learning that a prison sentence does not come with celebrity perks.
Oh.
She thought she'd be receiving special meals and her own room, but she's being treated like any other convict.
Is she angry about this?
She was flabbergasted, apparently.
She is not a big enough star to expect O.J. Simpson-style treatment in jail.
And why would you ever expect it in jail anyway? What is wrong with you, Abby Miller?
Yeah, you are there to be punished.
Yes. So word is she has hired a bodyguard to protect her from the other ladies at the Federal Correctional Institution in Victorville. And she's paying the inmates with goodies from the commissary. Which, that's how you do it. You kind of befriend the toughest chick and you're like, listen, I'll buy you a comb and some raisins. Protect my hoo-ha.
And you know that from your time in...
My time in the joint.
The penitentiary?
Yeah. Also, Orange is the New Black.
Sure.
And other such documentaries. No? Just me?
Abby Lee Miller from Lifetime's Dance Moms here at the Teen Choice Awards. What is it like being a dance mom, being coined as a dance mom? Is that a good thing?
I'm not a dance mom. Do you watch the show?
What are you?
Do you watch the show?
I mean, so snippy even way back then. Ugh. Dare she be mean to me. Beer mug. VMA Sunday, Katy Perry hosting, The Forum, Los Angeles. Kendrick Lamar has the most nominations. He's got 8. And then Katy Perry and The Weeknd are tied for 5. So they're coming in at second best. Here's what just made me go, oh, must we? Do we have to? For the first time, there will be no male or female artist categories. Instead, a new category, Artist of the Year, will do the job because MTV says it's to, quote, break barriers. So they've got the moon man that is no longer a man.
A moon person, Allie.
It's now a moon person.
Because of all, we have to represent all the women who have also stood on the lunar surface.
No, not a one. It's just, it's so, I can't. And they also have a new category this year called Best Fight Against the System. So
that's a strange category.
Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
No.
It really doesn't.
It also doesn't have anything to do with music, I guess. Or does it? I mean, are they talking about people who write political songs?
I would think it would be political songs.
Or are they talking about people who marched on Washington? I mean, what are they looking for here?
I don't know.
I guess I could tune in and find out, but I probably won't.
You can. Sunday, Pink will be honored with the Michael Jackson Video Vanguard Award. And if you're wondering about performers, like I mentioned, Katy Perry, Kendrick Lamar, The Weeknd, Ed Sheeran, Lorde, 30 Seconds to Mars, and Miley Cyrus, just to name a few. So, I mean, they've got great performances, so I'd be into it, but I don't think I can stick around for the breaking barriers. Give me a freaking break.
Oh, I will tell you, if you missed our interview with Jared Leto earlier in the week, he did promise something he said that has never been tried before on television with the performance of their new Walk on Water song, so I am intrigued to see
that. And it's either going
to
be great or a complete disaster.
Right.
How is he not going to try and walk on water?
Right.
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 Some birthdays today. Gene Simmons is 68. We should have talked to him. Wonder how he's doing. Sean Connery.
He would have charged us for using his name.
Yeah, he would. Sean Connery is 87. Director Tim Burton is 59. Model Claudia Schiffer is 47. Actor Alexander Skarsgård is 41. Rachel Bilson is 36. And actress Blake Lively is 30. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
All right, we're always taking a big risk here. We throw open the text line for listeners to suggest any song they want, but I believe we have caller 100 on the line, texture 100 on the line, and we're going to keep it 100 right now.
I got to keep it 100.
Keep it 100, baby.
Keep it 100.
I keep it 100.
I keep it 100, bitch. I keep it 100.
Keeping it 100.
Keep it 100. I keep it 100.
100, 100.
I keep it 100. I keep it 100. I keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
Keep it 100.
I'm gonna keep it 100.
Hey, Richard from Montclair, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
We are good. Producer Dave tells me, true or false, that you have been texting in this song for like 2 months.
Just about, and like 20 times every time.
Why are you so fired up to hear this particular song?
Because this is one of those songs that makes you want to hit something just going into the weekend, you know?
Oh, okay. It's a party starter for you. What are you doing today? What's your Friday looking like, Richard?
I'm going to work right now.
And Boo! And what kind of work do you do?
I'm a dental assistant.
Boo!
Oh, go on.
That's not the type of thing you could just hit people.
No, you shouldn't be fired up as you're, like, flossing and
you
stuff.
You hit him so that way you can bring, you know, business to your doctor.
Ah.
Oh, that's Richard. This got dark.
Richard just hangs outside the dentist's office on Fridays.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Allie. I do. I feel like that's the kind of job that you should be super, like, mellow and, and you know, precise with your fingers.
Definitely.
All right. Well, we are ready to inflict your song and your pain on the world. What are you asking for today, Richard?
Do you want another run at that theme?
No, I'm good with it. Okay. All right, Richard, your request is?
Wolf Mother, Woman.
You got it. Thank you for texting.
Keep it 100.
Yeah.
That sounded great.
That did sound great. That was a nice choice there. Thank you very much, Richard. And what do you remember most about the year that Wolf Mother played the Weenie Roast, Kevin?
Best afro of any rock musician ever.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Pretty great. You'll get a chance to keep it 100 next Friday. Hey, Kevin and Bean's great news next on K-Rock. All right, Ralph's not here. Mm-hmm. So do you guys think we are just as likely to go off the rails, or do you think we're going to land this thing safely?
Oh, no, off the rails.
It has nothing to do with Ralph.
Right.
Really?
Who are you kidding?
It's mostly us. And by us, I mean you and me, Bean.
For whatever reason, the last showbiz beat on Friday just deteriorates quickly.
Yeah.
And maybe this one already has. I don't know.
I feel like it might have. Should I go, though?
I mean, yeah.
Okay.
Let's give it a try. But
all right. Well, go ahead. I'm not sure if you guys saw this.
Why?
I know. Well,
Rodney.
Don't. Alamo Drafthouse, they did that thing last year? Nope. Oh, crap, it's happening. They did that thing with Wonder Woman where they had a women's only screening.
Why?
And, well, they thought it was a great way for women to come together and really deal with this movie in a way that women wanted to see it and really embrace it with other women. So,
why?
Well, it was a big deal to have a superhero of our own to see in an environment with other women.
Why?
So what Alamo Drafthouse is doing is they're doing that again, but with a different movie. They are offering a clowns only screening of Stephen King's It.
Come on.
That's incredible.
I am all in.
Yes, there are going to be 3 clowns-only showings at all Austin, Texas theaters on September 9th. That's the day after It opens in the U.S. So head on down to Austin. And if that's not enough, just seeing it with fellow clowns, they're going to have a barrel of fun. So arrive early for that. What does that entail? Well, at 5:30, they're going to have an It pre-party, where you can have face painters available for clown touch-ups, a photo booth, raffles for prizes, and other...
Is this a 6-year-old birthday party?
And other, quote, terrifying merriment. Please arrive in your own Pennywise best and be ready to float with us. Alamo Drafthouse remains the best. That's fantastic. Well, just because they think out of the box and they think about great things that are going to get a lot of attention, like this.
Why?
I mean, that was very delayed. Why? So you don't really care. Thank you.
Why?
Kevin, you watched Game of Thrones for the first time this past Sunday. You're all caught up.
You did
a great job.
I know everything about the show, and I can't wait for Sunday's season.
And to your credit, you saved 6 years of watching that show.
Yeah, you did. Sunday, HBO's 7th season comes to an end. Game of Thrones finale. How are you going to celebrate? Well, you can just watch the show or head to Arby's beforehand. They're unleashing a special offer at select locations.
Why?
Giant turkey legs. Big old turkey legs that you can eat. You too can stuff your face like the hound. It's seasoned with salt and brown sugar smoked and then slow roasted to perfection. Available in just 9 cities across the country. And don't worry, people of L.A., we're included.
Oh, that's such great news, right, everybody?
The Arby's at 347 East Main Street in Alhambra. I mean, really.
Right?
They're just going to hand you a big old turkey leg. Way to go, Arby's. Do you put horsey sauce on a turkey leg, do you think?
I don't know, to be honest.
You wanted to say care so bad.
I don't care at all.
Why?
I'm not a horsey sauce fan at all.
No?
I just don't dig.
All right. I understand. Hey, TMZ is going to get some competition from the New York Post. The New York Post is getting into the TV business with Page Six TV, a syndicated daily show named after its famous gossip column. It's set to premiere on September the 18th. It's already cleared in more than 200 markets, covering 98% of the country, including Fox TV stations in 16 markets.
How do we think that's going to do?
Look, Look. When TMZ was launched, mm-hmm. I laughed in their faces. Mm-hmm. I said, nobody needs another one of these dumb celebrity-focused entertainment shows. We already have Access Hollywood. We already have the Inside Edition. And we already have the Entertainment Tonight. We just don't need it. Mm-hmm. And TMZ just blew up and became the biggest thing in the world. Now, it helps that they have, you know, one of the most trafficked websites in the world. They got an empire going now. So I don't know, man. There just seems to be an insatiable appetite for these sorts of shows. People love hearing about celebrities.
Wow.
So,
that is a very savvy analysis right there.
Well, thank you. So maybe there's room for it. I was stunned by the numbers, Allie, that you gave about how many stations had room for it.
Me too. Absolutely. So Judge Judy, she's being sued by Rebel Entertainment. They're claiming that they're owed 5% of her signature show's profits.
That's baloney.
Well,
it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, according to Judge Judy.
Do you ever want to go up against Judge Judy for any reason?
You don't think she's covered her bases? Like, she knows how not to get sued?
So you get zippo, nada.
So she testified during a deposition that she negotiates her own deal with the CBS president every year. Which is interesting in itself that she doesn't have an agent, whatever, doing it. But this is the part that I just thought, oh, she's such a baller. Apparently, they meet for dinner. She hands him an envelope with her salary requests, insists that they eat before taking a peek.
So she hands him the envelope, and then he can't look at it until they've eaten.
Maybe an appetizer. Who wants soup? They finish the meal, and then she's like, go ahead and take a look. And you know that, hello, it's Judge Judy.
Yeah.
You're giving her whatever it says in that envelope.
Yeah, she said in this deposition, she said, it's not a negotiation.
Yeah, no, I tell them what I want, and they're like, yep,
that's so great. Successful. I mean, I think it's like $45 million a year or something crazy like
that. Yeah, she's...
Because they can't replace her, right? Because she's the only Judge Judy.
She is the only Judge
Judy.
That's baloney. It doesn't make sense.
If you fire Billy Bush, you bring in another guy with a haircut. You know what I mean? You fire Judge Judy, there's no replacement for her.
Put that in the file over there for...
Yeah.
Bad examples. Really? You fire Billy Bush and get another guy with a haircut?
I'm just saying Judge Judy is more irreplaceable than a lot of people who host television shows.
Why?
It's the force of her personality, Ronnie. That's why.
Why?
Because she's very knowledgeable about the law, and she has a short fuse, and that makes great television.
Why?
Because no one else is as good as Judge Judy. That's why.
Not interested, sir.
Thank you.
All right.
Why?
Why not?
Why the hell not? Some birthdays today. Sean Connery, 87. Tim Burton, 59. Gene Simmons, 68. Alexander Skarsgård is 41. Rachel Bilson is 36. And actress Blake Lively is 30. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers. We will see you Monday morning with Harvey Levin and comedian Adam Ray.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Fire must cleanse us.
Why?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Let me tell you what, that's legendary, my boy.
Roll another one.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
Would you all welcome Scott Baio?
Another
year. Signing off for InfoWars.com, I'm Alex Jones. If you're watching this transmission, you know it. You are the resistance.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
Roll another one.
Are you ready to get sexy?
Just like the other one.
Shut up, kiss me.
This one seems to be about.
Come on, can I touch it?
I don't have another cent.
How are you going to celebrate tonight?
I probably have a Jägermeister.
Where's the boom?
Just pass it around.
Zendo.
You can't argue with failure.
I just pass it on down.
Anyway, I'm about to fall under the table. Anyway, I'm going to say goodnight and crawl into that bed and get some sleep.
You will never walk alone. Thank you. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Anyway, I decided to conclude this call. I hope I can wrap it up. I can't guarantee it, but... So anyway.
That's the end of the story.